Father. As many of you know, our pastor gets the first Sunday of every month off, Sunday night, to rest and recoup since he has to work a 60-year-old body. 5 days, 6 days, 7 days a week sometimes. But God is good. God is good. And God is just doing some great things in y'all's hearts and in my hearts. I really believe that. We have passed the point of no return. We cannot give up. It's not a time to give up and not a time to give in. But it's a time to endure till the end. And if we endure till the end, we shall be saved. But we've got to endure till the end. We must endure till the end. Thank you, Father. I'm going to wait to pray until we have a little transition going on here. And then we'll begin. I'm going to talk tonight about grace. Grace is simply God's unmerited favor. Grace is something you can't achieve. Grace is something you can't earn. That's just what it is. It's grace. Our pastor likes to say it's God's riches at Christ's expense. That's a pretty good acronym for the word grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. So God is good. And we're going to talk a little bit about grace tonight because Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Because if it was of works, we could all in this room say, well, I led this person to Jesus, or I led that person to Jesus. I prayed for this person, and they were healed. But the Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. Hallelujah. It is, in fact, the gift of God. It is, in fact, the gift of God. Thank you, Father. I want to thank you for this evening. I want to thank you for your word, Father. I ask that you give me wisdom as I lead your people, Father God. I'm just a man of clay, Father God. Just a man with grace upon his life, Father. And I thank you that everyone in here has grace, Father, that has accepted you, Lord. And I ask you to lead us and to guide us into all truth, Father God. Let your word hit the mark, Father God. Those that are cast down and feel like they have to earn something, Father, let it hit the mark and let it pick them up, Father. And Lord, I thank you and praise you for this, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bible, please turn with me. Y'all go to Luke chapter 2, verse 40. I'm going to read out of Proverbs real quick while y'all are turning to the book of Luke. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse... Nope, Proverbs chapter 3, I'm sorry. 22 says this. So let they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Let me back up to verse 19. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding hath he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so that they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Isn't it an amazing thing that we hear more about prosperity in these days, and wisdom's not my message, but I'm going to touch on it just a little bit. We hear more about prosperity and about God wanting to bless us than we do about wisdom, and with all thy getting, good understanding. And it's important that we understand that if we want to have God's grace, we need to get wisdom. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. We must understand that God is a gracious God. We're here tonight because of his grace. Not because of what we've done, but because of God's grace. Turn with me. Y'all are in Luke, right? We're going to Luke chapter... I'm going to turn to Luke 2 now. We must understand that we can't earn. There's nothing we can do. We can't live so holy. We can't live so right and so white. That's going to get us into heaven. We're getting into heaven by the blood of Jesus. We're getting into heaven because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's why we're going to heaven. Not because of what we do and what we don't do. Brother Sean, does that mean we shouldn't do certain things? No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying there's nothing I can do in and of my life that's not going to get me any closer to God than what God's grace has already gotten me to. Nothing I can do, nothing I can earn, nothing I can't read it the whole Bible in 2 months and earn God's favor any more than God's grace will allow me to earn it. Thank you for the amen. See, we're so much into power that we forget that it's His grace that allows the power of God to operate in and through our lives. If it wasn't for that grace, God's power wouldn't able to be there. The Bible says the law and prophets, Moses brought the law, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. See, we get into the truth, but we don't always get into the grace. And it's an imperative thing that grace in that passage of Scripture, and we're going to read it here in a minute. That passage of Scripture, grace came before truth because Jesus was a man that went to the cross. Jesus was full of grace. When Jesus looked upon the multitudes, He was moved with compassion. Do you think that was just compassion, or do you think it had a little bit to do with grace being upon His life? I believe it was both. He had compassion and He had grace. Jesus was not only the Messiah. Jesus was not only the Word man. Jesus was also the grace man. We don't hear too much about Jesus being the grace man. We hear about Jesus being the Word man. We hear about Jesus being the truth. We hear about Jesus being the Christ. And all of these things are truth. True. But Jesus is also the grace man. Jesus came with a mission. Jesus came with a statement. He came to do good. He came to bring a sword. He didn't come to bring peace. Because outside of Him, there is no peace. The only peace that we can have is in Christ Jesus the Lord. Only in Him. Brother Sean, this is pretty basic. Yeah, I know it is. But for some reason, God wants us to hear it tonight. So we're going to hear it. Luke chapter 2 and verse 40 says this. I'm going to back up to verse 36. And there was one Anna, prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Aser. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of Him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. And when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Listen to me, my brother and sister. Grace was upon Jesus. Just as sin entered through Adam, grace was coming by Jesus. Because we cannot enter into any spiritual gift without the grace of God. We cannot speak in tongues without the grace of God. Because our righteousness, as the Bible says, is as filthy rags. So we need this unmerited favor. We need this gift of grace the Bible talks about. I'm into grace because I'm a man of clay. I'm an imperfect man. Thank you, Kim, for that amen. Hey, we are. Ain't none of us in here perfect. There's a difference of not being perfect and having a heart that wants to do right. I meet people all the time that say they want to do right and they want to live right and they don't. Actions speak louder than words. I can tell my wife I love her till I'm blue in the face, but I hope that my actions show that. I can tell her that I love her and I can go home tonight and beat her with a stick. I'm not going to do that, but I'm just using that as an analogy. Sister Pat, I saw you laugh. Sister, you better watch it. But we are what we are by the grace of God. And I'm having some fun, but I'm also serious, my brother and sister, because we tend to try to earn God's love. Thank you for the amen. We tend to try to earn God's favor. We tend to try to get God to look at us. God is not like our earthly parents were. We don't have to get an A on a test or a B. Or we don't have to not get a speeding ticket growing up as you're a teenager. See, God accepts us the way we are. Knows that we're imperfect. Knows that we're going to stumble. Knows that we're going to fall. The Bible says, though a righteous man fall, yea, the Lord will pick him up again. Dust him off. It's not so much you walking this thing out. It's the fact that God's carrying you through this thing called Christianity. See, He who began a good work in us will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Not anything that you did, it's what He did at Calvary. He began this thing in you and me, and He's going to complete it until that day. There's nothing you can do. There's nothing you can do to make God love you any more than when He died on that tree for you and me. There's nothing you can do, my brother and sister. There's nothing. I can sit here tonight with a call of God on my life and not preach. And guess what? God's going to love me. Yes, I'm going to be disobedient, but God's still going to love me. I may not have the quote-unquote blessings or walk in the fullness of the blessing that God has for me, but God will still love me. Thank you for the amen. There are people with call of God's on their life running from them, but God still loves them. There's still grace for them. There's still grace for you, but you've got to receive this grace. No, Mike didn't know what I was going to talk about tonight. Doug didn't know what I was going to talk about tonight when he opened up in prayer. We don't talk about these things, but the Spirit of God knows. The Spirit of God knows. I was just flipping through the Bible, and I just came to a scripture, and it jumped out at me, and I said, okay, Lord, we're going to talk about grace tonight. And I'm not one to talk about grace because I don't always understand grace. So as I'm giving this to y'all, I'm learning it myself, so bear with me. Because, see, and I myself try to earn God's love, try to earn God's favor. But if we are what we are, I'm learning by the grace of God. I could have a horrible week coming here on Sunday morning, and God can touch me by His Spirit and by His grace. Because why? Because it's that love that touches me, that changes me. And will God spank me? Absolutely, and He does. Just like He does y'all too. See, you can't be a child of God and not get a whooping. If you say you're a child of God and don't get a whipping, you're not a child of God according to the Scripture. You got things going wrong in your life. It's because there's some things you need to get right in your life. Everything that happens bad to you isn't always the devil. It's a lot of the bad choices we can make as Christians. Oh, I know we didn't like to hear that, but it's the truth. We make decisions. We make concessions sometimes that we shouldn't. Thank you for the amen. John chapter 1, please. And I'm trying to hurry because I know kids got school, but I'm going to go with the Spirit of God. I only got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 scriptures. That means nothing, as y'all know, in this church. Absolutely nothing. We let the Spirit of God move, thank the Lord. John chapter 1, verse 14 says this: "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father." Listen to this, my brother and sister. Full of truth first? No. Full of God's power? No. Full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. Full of what? Grace and truth. I want to hone in on grace because I know most of us in here, we don't understand this thing called grace because we don't accept grace all the time. We try to earn God's favor. We try to earn God's love. We'll be walking down the road and we'll stumble and condemnation will try to set in on us, and we don't understand that God's grace is there to dust us off and pick us up. Does that mean we live in habitual sin? No. Paul was very, very clear about that. We cannot live in habitual sin and use the grace of God. That is taking the grace of God and mistreating it and abusing it, and we ought not do that. I'm going to give the whole counsel of God's night, not just what we need to hear and make you feel good. You cannot abuse God's grace. We cannot trample underfoot the blood of the everlasting covenant. We must, if we're going to live for this man called Jesus, we must have a sincere heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance, but it's God that looks upon the heart. You can tell, Brother Mike can tell me till he's blue in the face that he wants to serve God. And I can be driving down the road and see him come out of a XXX club bringing out videos. That to me doesn't mean that he loves, doesn't mean he doesn't have a problem. And God's grace is there and can deliver him. And God's grace is sufficient, and God can heal and God can restore. But understand something, there are choices that we make day in and day out that reflect our Christianity. The polls are coming up, and who you vote for is going to determine where your Christianity stands and how much you love God. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. You need to vote Christ-like. That's all I'm going to tell you. You're first a Christian, not a Democrat or a Republican. Vote what the Bible says. This is our conscience right here. Vote it. Vote it. And I got to get off of that because this tape's going to go out and we're going to get fined. Lose our tax credit. But I don't care. God will make a way. God will make a way. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Get out there and vote on some of them things y'all know y'all need to vote on. Gay marriage and all that good stuff. I'm going to get in trouble now. I know it. That's okay. It's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong. I'm going to go with what the Bible says. Come hell, high water, persecution, I'm going to go with what the Bible says. Throw me in jail, I'm going with what the Bible says. Because God is real. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of Him and cried, saying, this was He of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. And of His fullness have all we received in grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Jesus is not only a truth man, He's a grace man, as I said earlier. We always want to hone in on the truth and leave off the grace. We've got to have the balance, and we've got to have, it's kind of like a car battery, my brother and sister. You cannot start a car without a positive and a negative. You cannot have truth without grace, and you cannot have grace without truth. Thank you for the amen. It is like a car battery. You've got to have the two to make one. You've got to have grace so that you can understand the truth, and God can help you live that truth out. Without that grace in your life, you can't walk out that truth that this word declares, because in and of yourself, you cannot do it, and I cannot do it. But by the power and the Spirit of Almighty God, through His grace, we can live a Christian life, and we are able to live a Christian life. But it's through His grace. It's through His grace and it's through His truth. They work hand in hand, my brother and sister. I'm enjoying this. I don't know about y'all. Because I'm learning as I'm delivering. And I get excited when God shows me something new. I get my honey bucket gets turned over. Just look out. I might run the aisle tonight. I'm serious. Because God is that faithful to us. God is not a man that He should lie, neither the Son of Man that He should repent. Have He not said it, and will He not bring it to pass? If He began the work inside of you and you have a sincere heart to follow Him, He's going to perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Until Christ appears again, God is going to perform it. Turn with me, please, to the book of Acts, chapter 4 and verse 33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all. God's grace is upon you. And God's grace is upon me. Because there's a work that He has for us to do. And we cannot do this work in and of ourselves. We cannot do this work with our righteousness. But we can with His righteousness, and we can with His grace. But it's only through His grace that we can live this Christian life out. We cannot live this Christian life with in and of ourselves. It takes God's power, it takes His Spirit, and it takes His grace to help us. When you begin to struggle in life and you think you can't make it, what is the old saying? What is the old saying that we've heard for years? That when the devil sees the weakest Christian on his knees, he trembles. Why? Because when that Christian is on his knees, that's when he's the absolute strongest, because he's on his knees crying out to his Almighty God, and his Almighty God's going to come through and deliver him and deliver her from the situation and the circumstance that they're in. But the problem is, we don't always get on our knees and cry out to Almighty God. We try to fix it ourselves instead of let God fix it. Romans chapter 5. I could be in Romans all night, but I know we don't have that kind of time. Romans chapter 5. I'm going to read 12 to 21. Wherefore, as by one man's sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned, For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so it also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by, listen to me, my brother and sister, it's going to answer itself right here. For if by one man's offense death reigns by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one, Jesus Christ. See, sometimes people want to stop and try to explain the scripture. You know what? The scripture will answer itself if you'll just let it. The scripture will answer itself. See, we try to, but sin entered the world through Adam and it tainted itself and it tainted and it went through Moses and it went down through the tribes. And we see that the children of Israel, when they're in the wilderness, when they had the cloud by day and the fire by night, and when they smote the rock and water followed them, these were all types of Christ. But when Christ came, and it was prophesied that he was coming, and John prophesied, and we read it earlier, all these things led up to Jesus coming upon the face of the earth. It all led up to grace coming upon the earth. And when he entered into the world, we see that we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten, and we beheld his glory. We looked upon that glory. We handled the glory of God, and we handled the grace of God, and we handled the truth of God. We must understand that we are what we are by the grace of Almighty God. It is not what you can do. It is not what I can do. But it's what Christ can do in you, and it's what Christ can do in me. It is Christ which is the hope of glory. Grace is simply unmerited favor. Grace is descriptive of God's favor, Genesis 6:8. God's forgiving mercy, Romans 11:6. The gospel, John 1:17. Gifts, 1 Peter 4:10. Eternal life, 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Grace is the source of salvation, Acts 15:11. The call of God, Galatians 1:15. Faith, Acts 18:27. Justification, Romans 3:24. Forgiveness, Ephesians 1:7. Consolation, 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Grace is described as all abundant, Romans 5:15-20. We just read that. Grace is described as all efficient, 2 Corinthians 12:9. Grace is glorious, Ephesians 1:6. Grace is great, Acts 4:33. Grace is the manifold grace of God in 1 Peter 4:10. Grace is rich, Ephesians 2:4-5. Grace is undeserved, 1 Timothy 1:12-16. Grace for the believers is simply this, my brother and sister. We're all under grace, Romans 6:14. We receive, John 1:16. We stand in, Romans 5:2. We abound in, 2 Corinthians 9:8. Be strong in the grace of God, 2 Timothy 2:1. Grow in the grace of God, 2 Peter 3:18. Speak with the grace of God, Ephesians 4:29. Inherit the grace of God, 1 Peter 3:7. We got to understand that there are dangers of the grace of God. The grace of God can be abused, Jude 4. Be frustrated, Galatians 2:21. Be turned from, Galatians chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. We've got to understand that we've got to grow in this thing, grace. Sometimes we look at people and we want to be like those people. You know, the ultimate goal for the believer is to be like Jesus. That doesn't mean we don't have people we look up to. That doesn't mean we don't have mentors. But the ultimate mentor is Christ. There are people that are going to fail you. There are people you're going to look at that are going to, you're going to say, how can they be living like this? I knew them when they were like this, and now they're living like this, and I don't understand. Understand something. You're going to answer to God. They're going to answer to God. But when you're clean and you're right before Almighty God, let them alone. If let them alone, they're going to answer to Almighty God. That doesn't mean we don't try to warn them, but some people just don't want to hear what the truth has to say about situations in our lives. Some people just don't want to hear it, and we don't want to cast our pearl before a swine. Some, you know, I can go to work and I can toot my horn, but a lighthouse, all it has to do is shine. When a lighthouse is shining and a ship's coming into port and it's foggy, a lighthouse doesn't have any bells or whistles. It just has a light that shines in circles and circles, and it just shines, and the light shines, and it beacons over here, and it beacons over there, and it beacons everywhere. And when those ships come into port, they look for the lighthouse, because the lighthouse is a sign of safety. It's a sign of we're close to shore. We just need to follow this channel right here, and it's going to get us into shore without any danger. And it's that lighthouse that we're looking for. And if you follow the lighthouse in Jesus Christ, you're going to be okay. The Bible says, don't neither look to the right hand nor to the left hand, but look your eyes straight on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're going to be okay. It's when we look to the left at our brother and sister that's got trouble in an area, we look to the right and we see a little bit of hypocrisy, and it makes us wonder, well, if they can't make it and they can't make it, where does that leave me, Almighty God? It leaves you in His grace, my brother and sister. It leaves you when you become dependent on Almighty God to know that you can't live another day without Jesus. You can't make it another moment without Him. When you come to that place in your life, you're going to have the very thing you need in Jesus Christ. You're going to have the very God in your life that you need so desperately. But until you come to that place and realize that there's nothing this world has to offer, there's no one that can help you like Jesus, you're going to be struggling. You're going to be wringing your hands. You're going to be pulling your hair out, because there is no peace outside of Jesus. There is no love outside of Jesus. It's in Jesus. This grace is in Jesus. We preach Jesus in this church, and we preach Him crucified, and we preach Him risen from the dead, because there is resurrection power in Jesus Christ. There is healing in Jesus Christ. There's transformation in Jesus Christ. Old things can pass away, and all things can become new in Christ the Lord, in Christ the Lord of glory. Would you please stand to your feet, because I don't have anything else. Unless the Lord wants to do something, that's all I have. I delivered my message. I delivered my soul. I taught on grace. And I want you to understand something, my brother and sister, that you need to grow in grace. You need to let God love on you. You need to let God just saturate you with His love. And when you make a mistake, just let God love on you. Go to Him and say, Lord, I blew it again. I didn't want to lose my temper, but I lost it anyway. And I need Your help, Father. I don't like flying off the handle. I don't like losing my cool. I don't like blowing it, Lord. I look ugly. I look hideous. And God's grace is there to pick you up and dust you off and send you on your way. And it doesn't matter what the circumstances in. God's grace is sufficient. The Bible says where sin abounds, His grace doth much more abound. See, it hyperabounds. It extends out. Where, you know, everybody talks about judgments in America, and hey, I believe they're already here. But where sin abounds, God's grace is sufficient. God can still send a revival to America if people will just get on board and begin to seek His face and pray again. God can send a move of God and a Holy Ghost revival. But it's up to me. And it's up to you. It's not up to the world. It's not up to the first church. It's up to the Christians in America. It's up to the Christians. But God's grace is sufficient for you and for me. His grace is all abundant. His grace is glorious. His grace is great. And His grace is undeserved. But He gives it to us. There's nothing we can do to earn salvation. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. God's grace is awesome. It'll change your life. Because you'll realize that it's not so much you that's walking, it's Him that's leading you. And when you let Him lead you, your life's going to change. Doug said it earlier. You know, God wants to be the pilot, not the co-pilot. Let Him be the pilot of your life. Stop letting people influence you that don't want to serve God. Don't follow that ungodly counsel, but follow the counsel of people that want to lead you in the right direction, lead you in the right path. That doesn't mean I'm not going to tell you something that could be wrong, because I've been wrong before and I'm sure that I'll be wrong again. But I don't choose to be wrong and I don't mean to be wrong. I'm still growing just like y'all are growing. So if I make a mistake, I'll be the first one to admit, look, I made a mistake. What I read in the scripture was wrong and God corrected me, and I want to tell you that I was wrong and this is what it really means, because I don't want to go into the ditch of all the rest of the people. I want to follow Jesus, my brother and sister. How about you? There are too many people going into the ditch. Too many people following a lie. I want to follow the truth. Brother Sean, how can you say that? Hey, turn on the television. All those people following, some of them people are following a lie. And they're going to wind up in a ditch. And I don't want to see anybody wind up in a ditch. But the Bible did say that in the last days, people would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Tell me what I want to hear. Tell me everything that's good about me. Nothing bad about me. I don't do any wrong. Tell me all the good that I do. And that's the generation that we live in right here and right now. But I've got good news, my brother and sister. There are 7,000 that haven't bowed their knees to Baal. There are 7,000 that haven't given up to the lies of the enemy. There are 7,000. There are other peoples out there just like us that believe just exactly what we believe. And we don't need to hang our heads down, but we need to look up, because our redemption is fixing to come nigh. Our redemption's fixing to happen. I don't know when, and nobody knows the time, and nobody knows the hour, but the hour is late, and Jesus is coming back very, 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 very soon. Jesus is coming back very soon. Brother Doug, you can give us some worship. If you're here tonight and you need to get right, we're doing things a little bit different in here. The altars are here. It's between you and God. It's not between me, you, and God. It's between you and God, and you can do business with God, and your life will be changed, and the altars are open.